Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Indianola School District is revamping parts of its curriculum with locally developed online courses. Let's go in depth with Indianola Superintendent of Schools, Art Sadoff. Well, Superintendent Sadoff, you were telling me about some online learning that's going to start taking place soon at Indianola Schools, and sounds like quite an effort. Can you share a little bit about it?
You bet. That's something we're very excited about. We will open an online learning center next fall, and this is really a continuation of a lot of great work we have happening in our school right now. We've had a couple of dozen teachers going through coursework to become certified online educators. We're in the fifth year of a digital learning environment at our high school, where each high school student has a MacBook. And our teachers have been doing a lot with blended and flipped instruction, but we're taking the extra step now of writing our own self-paced online coursework, as well as online facilitated work. It's just going to kick things up a notch in terms of the opportunities students have to do online learning, and we think it's going to be a great service to our students in our efforts to personalize learning.
Aren't there just canned programs out there that you could use?
There definitely are, and we, along with many other schools, do use them. We use them for credit recovery right now, and we use them in our alternative program. That's one of the main motivators in us doing this work. We just believe that we can write much more rigorous, aligned coursework and give the students taking those online courses a much more similar experience to the face-to-face classroom than what they're getting right now through the canned products. So they serve their purpose, but we just think we can do it a lot better.
So I presume that there are video components, some kind of problem solving, test taking, maybe some audio components. What am I missing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I am not an online course developer myself. I have not been through the training. I've seen examples, and I know that our instructors and our instructional coaches and our tech integration specialists are all working on them. But all of those elements you mentioned are important parts of online learning. And really, the whole goal is engagement for students. And we all know we live in a fast-paced world. Attention spans have probably gotten a little bit shorter. Technology has become more and more a part of our lives. So all those things you mentioned are components of that kind of a course. There are video components. That's one of the nice things about a flipped classroom. We have instructors that will videotape lectures, for example. The students are able to watch that at home rather than use class time for that. They can stop, they can rewind, they can listen again, and then when they do get face-to-face, then it's more problem-solving and kind of a lab-type environment. So there would be elements of that in an online course, even if a student's working alone. And even those students that we have taking self-paced online courses, we would bring them in as a group every 2 or 3 weeks and have some face-to-face interaction with the teachers, do some project-based learning together as students. It really is going to be a very exciting, engaging way to learn, I believe.
Now, with respect to the preparation of the curriculum, for those of us outside of it, it probably just sort of is a black box kind of thing. We don't understand it. But it seems to me, once I think about it, that that has to be a lot of work by the teachers. They have to know the technology. They have to know how to teach it. They have to enter this whole new environment, prepare all kinds of new things that are just independent of their normal lectures or labs they might do. It sounds like a lot of work.
You're absolutely correct. It is extremely painstaking work, and we have been paying teachers an extra stipend to do this work on their own outside of school hours during the summers. We've been extremely well supported by the AEA as well, Denise Krefting and Evan Abbey in particular, with AEA Learning Online. They've done a lot of this work ahead of time. They have some of the platforms and some of the technological tools for us to use as well. But our teachers are learning how to use different softwares like SoftChalk to help create this. And there just are an incredible number of details. For example, making sure that you're using a properly licensed or cited graphic or video if you're putting that into your work. The sequencing and the pacing of it for students, you know, allowing them to go at their own pace, but making sure that they don't just race through. You know, sometimes you have to kind of put the brakes on. working assessments into the course as they work through it. There just is a very, very painstaking, time-consuming, complicated process. It takes quite a bit of time to develop a course. We also are looking at some partnerships. There aren't too many schools in the state that are as far along as we are with this effort, but one that is Cedar Rapids, and we're talking about doing some course sharing and course swapping with them, too, to help each other out.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about the new online curriculum in the Indianola School District with Superintendent Art Sadhoff. Well, there's got to be, I would guess, some kind of a different improvement. For example, perhaps the best lecture a teacher might give was 4 years ago, and they might not ever be able to repeat it. But if you're recording things and you see that you've done something better or could do something better, you can tinker with that and make it better and better. I mean, I know that teachers improve on their own too, but there's some sort of a curation kind of thing going on here where you can just keep presenting your very best anew rather than trying to reinvent it.
Yeah, that's very well said. And that we're aware that these first courses we're writing do set our baseline, or they do give us that a starting point, but we will be continually reviewing these courses. Teachers will be looking like they should be in their regular classrooms too. Where am I getting the results I want? Using assessment data to inform instructional decision making and make adjustments. But as you said, it's easier to curate that if you have that in place, that entire course as a module, and it exists now in the electronic world, and you can take that when you have time and go through that. And consider, oh, maybe I could insert a video here and this would help make that point. Or maybe a performance assessment would be better in this place instead of just a traditional end of chapter test, or all those different decisions that could come up. And I think the students will be an important part of that too. And I think something that we're realizing more and more in education is the importance of student voice. And students are, they're very tuned into what works for them and what doesn't. And this is one of our efforts to really personalize learning. So we want to get the students' input on this as well.
Well, potentially then, maybe even something student-produced could wind it up into the curriculum.
Well, especially when you're talking in the realm of technology, it's pretty amazing. You know, the old cliche about, you know, you don't understand it, ask your 10-year-old son or 10-year-old granddaughter or something to help is very true. And you know, we are doing some great things with technology with kids through the years. I've seen kindergarten students coding in computer labs during the week of code, code.org. And we have a maker space in the middle school where kids are producing videos and creating apps and things like that. The high school, I already mentioned that we've had a digital learning environment for a while, but we're also very involved in things like Project Lead the Way, STEM curriculum, National Pre-Engineering STEM curriculum. So definitely the student capacity is there, and I would not be at all surprised to see them contribute to this as we go along with our online learning venture.
Now, how about for kids that school isn't the best environment? Like, I don't know, when I was a kid, I either wanted to read or just be running outside. And so, I mean, I did ended up doing fine, probably because of good teachers, but school was a tough environment for me. What about, I know there's kids like that now. Is this another option for them?
Well, it is, and I think that's something I have thought about a lot, and that was part of the reason we started this effort. The high school principal and I started talking a couple of years ago just about how to reach and help some of these kids. And I was a high school English teacher and a principal for a long time too, and you know, you see those students who don't fit the mold. The majority of kids, maybe traditional schooling, the way it's been done since the Industrial Revolution works. But, you know, we need to work very hard at engaging students, at finding their interest. Our district vision is proud traditions, unlimited possibilities. Well, I think, like a lot of schools, we have the proud traditions down. The unlimited possibilities, I think you have to continually look at how you're doing things and how you can reach people. And besides the students that maybe just aren't a traditional, you know, book learner, maybe they're more hands-on or something, we have pressures in education today that we're feeling, like the high percentage of students that are facing anxiety and mental health needs and who just struggle to get through a regular school day. And this effort is partially in response to those needs, too.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about the new online curriculum in the Indianola School District with Superintendent Art Sathoff. Now, not all courses lend themselves to this. Are you rolling out only in certain courses? You can't bring everything up online at the same time. Is there a plan? What's going to be taught, and how are you going to roll it out?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's something that the team that we're working with, which includes our curriculum director, our tech integration coach at the high school counselors, our teacher leadership and compensation coordinator, principals. We have a lot of people working on this, along with all the teachers writing the coursework. And we have mapped out and sequenced all of this. In the fall, we've been working to begin with primarily on core courses so that a student who wants to go the online route could begin taking those necessary math, science, English, and social studies courses that are going to be graduation requirements. We'll need to continue adding some elective courses as we go along. One of the early electives we have is child development. We're working on trying to figure out how to integrate physical education because, you know, ideally that's not a purely online course. The hope, too, is that, you know, this won't be just for students that want the core or just students who want a different way of learning, but we hope to get to the point too where we have some really good enrichment courses. So there is kind of a process with the rollout, exactly as you were describing. We've identified the courses we need to get somebody started who wants to have an online diploma. We're adding those electives as we go along, and right now we're beginning focusing on the totally self-paced coursework, which is the substitute for the canned products we talked about earlier. And then we will move toward online facilitated courses where, you know, there still is a face-to-face teacher, but the work is done online. And then hopefully as we go along, we'll continue to add more upper-level courses and more electives.
How do you feel this will help kids as they enter higher education or into the workforce?
The debate about integration of technology and online learning all along has been, well, will this get better test results? Will this result in higher student achievement? And I'm not sure that debate has ever been conclusively answered. But what we do know is that technology is engaging for kids. So there's an engagement piece, definitely, that we're excited about. In terms of preparation for the future, many college institutions now require at least one online course. And everybody knows you can get totally online degree programs almost anywhere now. So we just don't see technology becoming less a part of people's lives, whether it's college or the work world afterward. And we think we can give kids a great technology experience here. And there are those students for whom this is just a better match for their educational experience than how we've been doing school since the Industrial Revolution.
Well, some of these kids, is there the potential, if not immediately, maybe a few years down the road, for kids to graduate early?
I think that potential exists for some already. We have some early graduates every year, some kids who can do it in 3 or 3.5 years. I'm always, you know, reluctant to get excited about that because I think the high school experience is so great. And I know there are probably students for whom that is absolutely the right thing. They want to get on with their college education or they have some other plan. One thing I would say is that we are definitely looking at having aligned coursework, which is the same content. We don't want people to think that this is an easy, quick alternative just because it's online. And for some students, this will not be the best thing. Our younger son took an online course in college, and it was the hardest thing for him. There's a great deal of discipline involved with putting the time in and doing the work that way. It is a little different style of learning than having the teacher right there. Even if you embed helps and you have a teacher available, it's just a different kind of learning. So I don't know if it will contribute to more students graduating early or not. Do you think right now, again, that the canned products that exist, there are kids who can just kind of whip through that and you can Google answers and that kind of thing. These are much different courses than that. So I think it gives us another way to reach kids, another way to personalize learning, gives us some flexibility, but I don't think it's necessarily gonna lead to a whole bunch of students graduating early.
Well, the key is they're learning, not just passing, right? There's a difference between just passing and learning while you're passing.
Absolutely, and in some ways there's more accountability in an individual online course like this where you have to demonstrate understanding than if you're one in 25 or 30 students and you manage to get by with a D. You can question, I think, sometimes how much somebody learns if they just get by versus the constant demonstration of an online course.
And so this is rolling out in the fall, next fall.
Yes, we have some kids piloting coursework right now. I think we have 10 or 12 classes totally done right now, and we have several students enrolled in each of them. I know that earlier this fall, our first credit was earned in one of these online classes. A student who had previously failed an English class took it again online and passed it. So we are in the process right now of getting the bugs out and perfecting things. Not that it will be perfect in the fall, but we will have that program up and running, and we have courses created, and we're working on doing more.
Anything else that parents or students need to know?
I would say just direct questions to your counselors. The high school counselors have been involved in this process, the high school administration. I'm sure there will be questions. I'm sure there will be things we haven't thought of, but right now we're just excited about the first step on this road.
Thanks to Art Sadoff for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com, on demand or for download. Just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.